Jim Taylor on WMJ and WMJ.com. Good to have you along on this Saturday morning. Always fun when we get a in-the-studio guest with us and like to talk to media guys and gals about this business and coverage and the different things they do. Jeff Wendland with us with the Argus Dispatch. I think he told me he started back in 1984. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right, and this is what this guy's schedule has been. So Thursday night down in Normal, Friday night, did you say Rock Island?
Rock Island.
And then Saturday, after he leaves here, he's going to Chicago to cover a Western Big Six team up at the United Center. At what time?
At 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock. So this job apparently keeps you young, right?
I think so.
All right, how much? So that's how we begin our conversation. How much you love it?
I mean,
when you have a schedule like that.
I really do. I love it. There are times like Thursday night I'm driving back from Normal and I was like, what am I doing? I'm 57 years old. I'm driving on the highway with just thankfully the Rock Island bus went by me at about 85 miles an hour. And I goes, I'm getting on the back of her and going home. But it was like, what am I doing? Why am I still doing this? And then I woke up and I said, all right, got another game tonight. Going to Chicago on Saturday, going to back to Bloomington on Monday for the Rock Island Super Sectional game, and I love it. I mean, I love just – I think the same way as you guys do out here. High school kids are so much fun to be around. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen every night. They can be terrible. They can be great. But they're always kids, and they're so much fun to be around.
Well, and then you look at your schedule. So you go Monday back to you're at Illinois Wesleyan, I think, Monday
right.
for Rocky, and then you could be back at Redbird Arena Friday and Saturday next
well,
week.
Well, I'll be there and then at Pekin on Wednesday for a boys' regional game.
So let's see. So you started in 84, so that would be how many years altogether then?
This is 35th.
So, you know, a lot of the questions I ask when I get coaches in here or whoever, whatever they're involved in, so you look at your profession, right, in 35 years from when you started, 84 to 2019. So what do you think your profession will look like 35 years ahead of 2019?
I'm hoping it's still alive, but I don't know. It's
worrisome.
It is really worrisome. I mean, you just, there's so many that now everybody's a blogger and people can get their information from blogs.
And there ain't no rules in blogging.
Yeah, there ain't no rules and they get paid for everything they do. I mean, you have to get on and read their stuff. They get paid, so they're getting money, the money they want, and people are getting stuff that we can't give because we can't tell you, you know, a half truth, or we yeah. can't tell you, you know, we can't use some language that they might use, and it's tough. I mean, it's scary. There's a lot of days where you wake up and think, is this the last week we're going to be in business?
Well, and I tell people when we talk about this a lot. It's a you know digital media and social media for the traditional form of media has become a blessing and a curse because I tell people in my profession I probably produce more content now than when I first did and my reach is far greater but has the revenue stream or the personal income grown exponentially with that other growth. And you can attest to that as a newspaper reporter. Well, my reach has been extended. I probably produce more content because I'm writing the story, but then I'm going mad tweeting out, you know, possession by possession scores.
Exactly.
Which apparently is in the job description.
Right. It is. It's so hard to – I can think back to, you know, the early days of writing, and you could write a story – you could write 15 stories out of a game because you can watch everything that's mm-hmm. happening. You can watch the crowd. You can watch the coaches. You can watch the referees. You see everything. Now you basically see about a quarter of the game, you feel like, because your head's down looking to type the next tweet to tell somebody. And when you don't do that, immediately you get a text or you get a tweet back is, hey, you didn't tell me what the score is. I don't know, did they score in the last 30 seconds?
And your response should be, buy a paper.
There you go.
Well, that's the thing about the genie out of the bottle. You know, how do you, what's the answer to that question of the digital social media presence with your actual job of writing the story for the paper or broadcasting a game. I don't, you know, I just tell people I ain't tweeting during a game. I'm brought, if you want to hear the tweet, listen to the radio station when I broadcast. That's the tweet.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
It's like Thursday night I was tweeting about the girls' game, and I said, well, you know, I did this during the softball state championship
for
Rock Island.
Awesome,
I went Facebook Live, so I said, I better go Facebook Live to get them winning their first sectional since 1991. And so I go Facebook Live, and what happens is not 2 minutes after the game's over, where the heck's the score at, Wendland? And I said, I tweeted that I'm going Facebook Live, so I can't do Facebook Live, tweet, and keep the stats for the game. So I said, I'll just go to these two things, and we'll see if it works. And I think we had a lot of people that did get on the Facebook Live, so I figured that's okay. And people, I probably would have tweeted if the score changed dramatically.
What do you think the answer is, though, in the profession? And I'm talking about media collectively, of how you handle the social media presence.
I think it's just...
Because I say, is it an advantage or a disadvantage to the actual blueprint of, for example, the newspaper business? Is it benefiting the newspaper with having the social media, if you see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, is it benefited the industry? Because I know that's a sensitive debate. Has it made the newspaper game stronger in terms of the business model, or has it weakened it? Now, I'll give the Argus Dispatch credit with what is it? You always use the hashtag Hungry Hobo. Is it
Hungry Hobo 11?
And so that is an arrangement with them,
right,
for an advertising arrangement. So you are reaping some benefit, I see, from there.
Right, and we've talked about it, and it's kind of gotten nowhere for us. We could do a lot more of that stuff. You know, I think we could get more things by advertising in our tweets. But Hungry Hobo has been very good business with us, and they've taken on football, boys basketball, girls basketball, baseball. They don't have softball. We're trying to push them into that, especially with, you know, Rock Island having won the state championship and having a team that could do it again. But they've taken those things on. They kind of kept it to the metro area, but they, you know, I don't know, there's some point they could move to the area of stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really helped us a lot, I think. But going back to your, you know, the blueprint, I just don't know sometimes. I hope you would hope that the tweets and the Facebook stuff would bring some more people into saying, okay, I want to read Jeff's story or Mark's story or TJ's story, whoever's story mm-hmm. it is. But you just don't know for sure. But I know that in our last time we had a meeting with the corporate people, that one of the things they said is that newspapers itself, the actual newspaper, may go away, but newspapers in general won't go away because people still want to read the stuff. It may be more online, and it may end up being that, but what would happen there is you would lose all your people who, your copy desk people and things like that, and your photographers you'd have photographers, I guess, because you'd put some of it online, but basically you'd be having writers and somebody who reads that and sticks it online, and what few people who like a newspaper will buy one, but it'll be kind of almost to a point where it's publishing a newspaper how many people are buying it is not as important as how many people are reading it online.
Yeah. And that's an honest assessment, and that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot.
It sure is.
And I can say that I'm of the generation now where I get most of my stuff online, I admit it. But, you know, there's something to be said about having a scrapbook. You know, I can tell all these people out there that are listening that have had kids play, okay? And they can be sane people that will resort to something politically about hashtag fake news. But then I'll go to their house and they'll have a scrapbook and they'll have an Argus Dispatch headline with their kid playing. And I'll say, wait a minute. Fake news, you know. So that's what drives me bananas about stuff like that, because I think it's very important for those type of things. For me as a parent that had my kids play, you know, the hard copy newspaper was important to me. If, you know, my kid's name was in the paper or picture was in the paper, or whatever, that's important to me. And that's why I think it's important to have the hard copy newspaper. And I tell you, I think sports, in my opinion, is the only way. I'm talking about local sports, is the best way to save the hard copy of the newspaper.
No question, no question.
In my opinion.
We have always talked about that in the sports department, is that, you know, basically what drives a newspaper now is your local sports and obituaries. And that's about
it. Hey, that sounds like small market radio with obituaries. What?
I mean, maybe we should start selling stuff through the newspaper too. You know, Margie down the street's got a chicken coop. You know, you want to buy one? Here it is. Yeah. Call Mark Nestler.
Well, and people, I mean, that's the Americana way, people.
It really is.
The micro local stuff. I mean, you'd be surprised how much people like that. But you're onto something.
And it's funny because, you know, you look at it and you can you have these people that if you ever said this newspaper is done, it's not going out, you want to read it, got to go online, you'd have an uproar because there are people that I want that in my hands. I want that newspaper in my hands. I want to be able to read the story and then maybe go to work and come back home and read it again because I want to see, you know, my kid's name in the paper, and I want to cut that out. And just talking about scrapbooks and things, I got one of the coolest ones I've ever gotten the other day. I kind of grew up through end of my high school years and through college and then on for however many years in Duncan Reed. And his wife's daughter is a friend, real good friend of mine, and she brought to my wife a scrapbook that Duncan had made. She and Duncan had made together of all of his years covering Rock Island.
Oh, wow, really?
And they brought me that and a box full of DVDs of cassette recordings of the all the games, all the big
games.
On WHBF? Me some videos. And
oh, that's
like,
awesome, man.
I said, I don't know where I'm going to play these things at because I don't have one of them.
We got a cassette. So like the Don Sharp games you're talking
yes.
about? He was a legend, man.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was so awesome in the Quad Cities. I remember growing up listening to the Rocky games with him. He was just an institution in the Quad Cities. It's great to be around him. And so when you talk about like coverage of stuff, because sometimes there's always people out there. So this gets back into the actual inside baseball stuff here, the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the social media presence has extended, right? But is the revenue stream from the social media presence that is expanding, is it enough to expand the newsroom and bring in additional staff to cover stuff? And normally it isn't.
Right.
So then there's people out there that always feel that their team, their sport, their kid, shortchanged. You ain't out there. Where you at? You only
right.
care about this team. You only care about that team. And we hear a little bit of that too. So that's the other important concept of, as newspaper rooms or newsrooms in general in the media shrink, that means you can only cover so much. So a little bit about that in terms of, because I know the criticism, we hear the criticism over you're not covering this game or why aren't you there? And I'm sure you guys hear that a little bit too.
Well, that's
sometimes.
Just,
so your response to that is what?
That's just it. You know, I go back to, I'm not even 10 years ago, and we had, I think, 5 or 6 full-timers and 7 or 8 part-timers. So you could get every Big Six game. You could get Geneseo. You could get 3 or 4 area games. Now we're down to 4 full-timers and 5 part-timers, one of which is just works in the office. So you have to have somebody in the office as a full-timer. You have to have somebody else in the office as a part-timer to read stories. So now you're down to covering the Big Six games, covering Geneseo, and maybe one area game. And some nights, we have to pull Terry Duckett off the area beat and have him cover Geneseo or a Big Six game, and we can't even get an area game. And you're going to get, you know, the one nice thing is we really don't get a lot of complaints from the area schools. They really enjoy just whatever they get. But you'll get, you know, how come you couldn't cover the Geneseo game tonight? Well, because we didn't have anybody. And the coaches are great about it. You know, you can call Brad Storm and say, hey, we just can't get to your game tonight. Oh, I'll send the stuff. He'll send an email in, and he'll have five or six quotes for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make a story look like it was there. But the people just want to see a byline. And I'll probably tell you that 95% of them don't know what that byline was. But as long as they saw a big name up there on the top, then, oh, they covered us.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though, about the future of the profession and being worried about, are there going to be enough bodies to cover these games? And I fear that newsrooms are not going to expand. They're going to continue to be reduced.
Very much so.
And that makes me sad.
It does.
And if people are disappointed or concerned about, you know, the coverage now, that's why I ask you. I mean, 35 years from now, what will it be like? And I still have great appreciation for traditional media sources in the Quad Cities. I think they've been strong over the years, and I think people should appreciate that, whether it's the TV market in the Quad Cities, you know, from when I grew up, has always done a great job covering, and then, you know, I was a child of, the Argus was around when I was growing up, the Dispatch was around when I was up, and the Quad City Times was, you know, separate as well, and I just think having those in the strong traditions of those, We've been fortunate in this area growing up, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you see it when you see coaches come in from outside the area to take the job, and they're kind of overwhelmed, some of them, when they finish a game and all of a sudden you've got three TV cameras and two newspaper reporters standing there talking to them, and they're like, I've never had anybody. Maybe somebody will call me from the Tribune and say, you know, hey, how'd you guys do tonight? We won by 24. We beat the number one team in the state. All right, thanks, bye. and it's kind of funny because...
And then the next question is, okay, who's the number one team in the state?
And the funny thing is, you know, it's even that way with, you know, how you can have a coach that'll say, do I have to ask this question 100 times? And yes, because Channel 8 wants, you know, Matt Randazzo wants this quote from you, and Scooby wants this quote, and, you know.
And Kidwell wants this one.
Kidwell wants to talk about something that didn't even happen in the game.
Yeah, but all right, having a lot of fun today talking with Jeff Wendland. He started in this trade back in 1984. And go ahead, John Hoshite.
You just brought up something I'd never thought of.
Okay.
One of my most cherished possessions that I have are two scrapbooks full of every article of every game I ever played in, from 9-year-old Little League through Pro Ball. I mean, well, there weren't any, too many in Pro Ball. But anyway, and... to think a kid today couldn't have that down the road is a real shame.
Well, what do you say to that, Jeff Wendland? Well, that's a testimonial. Take that back to the Argus Dispatch.
That is great stuff to hear, because it is so much fun to be able to do that. I mean, as a writer, I have my scrapbook from my 4 years at Northern Illinois University working for the Northern Star and covering a football team that went to the California Bowl to play Fresno State, and we were so excited because we got to go to California on a plane and got to California and a dang thing was 30 degrees, wind blowing, cold, rain coming down. But I have every story that I wrote from the days I worked at the Northern Star. I even have my Crimson Criers from Rock Island High School, And I still sit down every once in a while and grab that stuff and look at it and read it and say, that is fun.
Yeah.
And that would, it would be a tragedy, really. It really would, because I think parents love that stuff. And even now we've kind of made a change on our photo policy at the newspaper. I'm not sure exactly how it's working, but now you have to get the picture and do everything yourself to get it sent out to you instead of buying one. Those are things that grandma and grandpa and mom and dad love, but the kids maybe don't understand it until they
late.
Get out of college, and then all of a sudden, man, I'd like to look back at that stuff.
And the other thing, too, on the radio side, if Art Kimball from WLPO did your game, it was a big one, and we might get on once a year.
And that's like John
Hoshek
now. Maybe
twice a year.
All right, talking with Jeff Wendland with the Argus Dispatch, started in this trade back in 1984. More coming up on the WMJ Sportsline on the Saturday.
Sometimes when you have more questions than answers about insurance and financial services, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. Your local country financial representative knows that every situation is unique and believes that even the biggest goals start with simple steps. So when it comes to protecting the things you love and planning for the future, don't get overwhelmed. Get started.
Contact your country financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Watt.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Financial Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Cost per policy will vary.
Get in the seat of a John Deere 3E Series tractor, and your next big project will seem a little less big. Because with an intuitive operator station and easy attachment hookup, no job is too tough. So get to work, because it's time to turn this land into your land. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Stop in and test drive today at Martin Sullivan, your local John Deere dealer.
When you need computer help, you need it quick. Office Specialist understands that, just like their name says. They're certified, knowledgeable technicians are specialists in network maintenance, custom web apps for your intranet, website design, new computer sales, troubleshooting, and more. Many times they can perform remote repair without visiting you. Let Office Specialist be your go-to techs for all of your computer needs. Contact Office Specialist in Galesburg today.
The outdoor track season will be here soon. Get the competitive edge before the season starts at 6140 Run. Get a custom lightweight fit in Saucony track spikes. Saucony offers amazing flexibility while cradling and protecting your foot for a firmer center footprint. 6140 Run has every distance of spike plus throwing and jumping shoes. Set the track ablaze in a range of distances with Saucony from 6140 Run. Saucony has been running strong since 1898. Get your competitive edge at 6140 Run at 218 East Main Street in Galesburg.
When you have an accident, it can be a terrible inconvenience. Russ Wingert, manager of Brands Collision Service, says you won't be stranded while they repair your vehicle.
We have our own loaner fleet and rental cars here that we take care of for customers, get them taken care of immediately when they come in, make sure they have wheels, and we'll take care of that even if they don't have rental coverage. And we also pick up and deliver cars free of charge, so we try to be a one-stop shop.
Brands Collision Service in Aledo, your total auto body repair center, now celebrating their 36th year in business, will never inconvenience you.
All right, good to have Jeff Wendland with us on a Saturday morning on the WRMJ Sports Line. Again, he was in the Quad Cities covering something last night, was in Bloomington Thursday night, and today has a game at 2 o'clock tip-off at the United
States. 2 o'clock tip.
And then Monday back in Bloomington. All right, man, awesome. All right, so... you know, in this profession, you know, where it's tough to, you know, distinguish between the line of being a fan and being a reporter when you're covering, like, local teams. I admit people, you know, I'm an unabashed homer for the local schools that we cover, and if people have an issue with that when I broadcast some of the visiting teams, so be it. You know, we're all in it for the Eagles and the Rockets and the Tigers, and now the Orient Chargers, so be it. So I know there has to be a little bit of journalistic integrity, as we say. I try to keep some of that, but in your profession too, you know, covering the home team.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, I grew up in Rock Island. I went to Rock Island High School. I played sports in Rock Island. I was a statistician for Duncan Reed for a couple of years.
We can have a completely separate show on that.
Exactly. And it's hard not to have that feeling that you want them to win, but I want every team to win. I really do. And people don't believe that, but, you know, I'll tell you one good story is I covered United Township in the state softball tournament. I think that was the Jim Sanders days of coaching.
He coached softball?
Yes, he did. Wow. And I'm sitting in the bleachers in the UT section. I always do that when I cover a game, a softball tournament in state. I will sit usually by the home team because I know those people, that it's nice to talk to somebody that you know. But I'm sitting there somebody comes over and says, "We're doing UTHS with the arm things. You're the U." And I said, "I'm covering the game." "No, you're the U this time." So I'm out there and I don't know. I didn't care. I got out there and did the U with UTHS. You know, I consider Bob Seitz to be probably one of my best friends I've ever worked with as a coach at Moline, winning state championships. Jay Hatch and Steve Ebner coaching at Allman. I rooted for them just like I root for anybody. It's because you want to see your teams win. Yeah. You want to cover the winner. It's no fun covering the loser, but it's a lot of fun to cover a winner, and it's fun to see kids that you see all the time have that chance to celebrate that one last time.
Do you have there been any in your career like complaints of bias where they'll say like, "Oh, that Wendland, he just cares about Moline," or Nestler just cares about Rocky, or Duckett wants Riverdale to win every game," or what? Do you hear that?
Oh, we hear it all the time, and it's funny because we've had times where we've had somebody send an email and say, "You guys, every one of you is a Rock Island graduate." "No, we're not." Next day, "You guys are all Alderman graduates." "No, we're not." "You guys are all Moline graduates." It's fun because it's just what comes out in the game. You know, something happens, something that in the post game interview.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's funny because this year I was doing this year I had to do the Rock Ridge Orion playoff game. I do most of the Sherrard games now during the fall for football with the assignment, and so I did the Rock Ridge Orion game this year in the playoffs, and we were talking in the station here. Late in that game, Rockridge took the lead, and then Orion came back and won. And there was, like, somebody called or emailed basically right after the time. Federer threw a pass, I think, to one, the Russ kid or whatever. And I'm like, "Oh, unbelievable. You know, what a catch," you know, the excitement. And we got, like, an email or a response and basically, "Hey, you know, you can tell Taylor, you know, he wants Rockridge to win. He's a, you know, Rockridge grad," and you know, whatever the allegation was. And I'm like, "Well, actually, I'm an Allman grad, so you probably dislike me even more now." But whatever. But I get that. You know, but
you could have come back with, "Yeah, I didn't even graduate. Yeah. I didn't even graduate."
But yeah, but it's always funny when you get into those type of discussions with people. And I truly, you know, when Rockridge and Sherrard play, I truly try to call it down the middle, or Mercer County when they're playing a local team. But if it's one of the local four primary schools we cover, you know, Mercer County, Sherrard, Rockridge, or Orion, and they're playing an outside school, we're all in it for that local team, and we make no bones about it because that's where our customer vis-a-vis business base is from. But getting back, you know, the issue of coverage, you know, do you get, if you can expand a little bit more on that, do you get many people saying, "Well," and when I talk about coverage, like, I'm talking about sports now, mm-hmm. you know, because football's easier. I tell everybody football, a lot of people criticize and say, "You guys go way too overboard for football." Well, from a setup standpoint, I know football is played on Friday nights at 7 o'clock, right? So it's one game a week. So
right.
It's easier to cover that, and you know that you can basically get to all those Friday night games. Now, fast forward to spring sports. You know, it's tough in this environment sometimes to get people to 4:30 games, 4 o'clock games, whether it be baseball or softball or whatever the other sport is that's not related to football or basketball. Do you hear stuff like that where you guys going too crazy for football again and too crazy for basketball and why ain't you at whatever?
Yeah, why aren't you at the wrestling meet?
But my response is always, well, why aren't you at the Scholastic Bowl meet? But, I mean, did you hear a lot of that, and what's your response to that?
You know, first thing is you go back to what we talked about a little earlier is the number of people we have working for us. You know, there was a day when, you know, I had Rock Island football or Moline football. That was all I had in the fall. And now I have Big Six football. So I've got to pick which Big Six game I'm going to cover, how I'm going to write a feature for Friday morning's paper. And then I might have to go to a soccer game and I might have to go to a volleyball game and I might have to do something else. And basketball season, I've got girls and boys basketball and might have to do something else. And then, you know, you go back to those days where it was all I had to worry about was one team and whatever. If I was the Big Six football writer, I had to write one feature on that week on a Big Six team. And sometimes you could say, okay, whoever, you know, Steve Tappa, if you've got UT, can you write that story this week? And you could do so much more. But now it's like, my wife says sometimes, do you ever stop working?
Well, and that's the thing in this profession where you individually have to determine, you know, I'm doing too much.
Exactly.
I'm just doing too much. I can't, because you're still, even if you do too much, somebody is still going to be shortchanged because you just can't. The numbers and the math don't lie.
Right.
There's just not enough people with the way the profession is. You know, with declining newsrooms, I mean, that's the issue. We have a lot of this philosophy in life. You know, we call it kind of the Walmart philosophy, where you want things cheap as possible, right? And like when I talk about media, you want as much coverage as possible, right?
Exactly.
But you're not willing to pay for it.
Right.
And that's the truth, because I can talk here from experience at WRMJ. So we have a third party that streams our games, right? Network One Sports is Inside Baseball.
Right.
So you can listen to the games for free, okay? So you just click on we take you to a third-party link, click on it, listen to the game, live streaming. But if you want to be a Network One subscriber, that means you have access to all the archives. So every game we've ever broadcast, okay? All right, every game we've ever broadcast. So you know what a Network One subscription fee is for a year? $9.99 for every game, okay? So if you tell people, and I get it, because I'm the same way when I go online and you get to a paywall, because we've been conditioned, right, that initially everything you went to online was free.
Was free, yes.
And then once there's a paywall goes up,
nope,
what do you do?
Not doing it.
I'm
not paying for that.
No. Because what has happened, we've conditioned people already to get stuff for free. And that's why I say when we let the genie out of the bottle, you know, you ain't getting back in. People are not going to do that.
Right.
Because we've already conditioned them not to do it. So, like, I've just a few people. I'm talking about small minority here. But when they'll say, can I get a copy of a game that you did? I'm like, well, it would probably be more beneficial to you just be a Network One subscriber and you can have access to every game and you can just download it and put it in your iTunes library and be done with
right.
it. Right. Okay? Well, how much is that? Oh, it's $9.99. What? $9.99 for your what? And then basically the copying fee here for one game, if they want it dubbed off on a CD, I think we charge them like $10.
Yeah. So, I'll take that.
we've conditioned people so much on getting stuff for free online, and basically the revenue stream isn't equaling, we talk about this, not equaling the expanded reach.
Right.
And then you try to, and here's the other thing then. So then on your online presence, right, you try to have advertising incorporated in that, whether it be a pop-up ad, right? Then you have to X out of it.
Right.
People get all mad about that. You know, they get, or, you know, now people are, because YouTube needs a revenue stream. So we absolutely go ballistic when we're trying to play a YouTube, whatever song we like. But gosh darn it, a 5-second ad pops up before we go ballistic. You know, and then it's so sad because some of those ads are just 5 seconds.
Yes.
And we still go crazy. And I'm like, people, there needs to be a revenue stream somewhere, somehow. So how do you get around that?
Yeah, I don't think you can anymore. I think you're stuck in that thing, and it's really hard. I mean, you know that. I mean, people, when they first, you know, we were giving it away online for how many years? I mean, you could go on QC online,
but
get the paper.
Not only you though.
No,
everybody.
And then all of a sudden, you know, papers in large cities figured it out. We can make money on this. So we're going to charge you $25 a year to take our online service. So I can remember myself even getting on and saying, okay, I got to look at this Chicago Tribune story. Oh, crap. I've already used my five free ones, and they want me to pay $9 for a month.
Now you're going to try and find another laptop so I can circumvent the process.
So I did figure out that if you go to Google and, you know, whatever it is, Chicago Tribune, Bears, trade someone, so-and-so, you can go get that story anyway.
But. Oh, you can circumvent. Yeah, something there's always.
But I'm sure that now that they're probably out there, goddamn, what are they doing? But, you know, the thing is that it's now everybody's doing it, and it's, and there's still people that are going to complain, but, you know, if you want the newspaper, but you don't want to have them deliver it to you because, gosh darn, this guy didn't deliver my paper when it was 32 below zero and the wind was blowing 100 miles an hour and it was snowing, and he couldn't get my paper to me, so I'm dropping the paper. I'll do it online. What? I got to pay for online too? And you just, you know, people don't understand that. We kind of got to make a living, too.
Well, yeah, and that's the we were talking about the expanded coverage of wanting the expanded coverage, but are you willing to pay for it?
Exactly.
That's the big question. And, you know, people will complain about the price of a newspaper. You know, they don't like that. You know, the actual newsstand paper
right.
for the Sunday.
Yeah, it just
paper.
Went up for us.
Yeah, so, and those are the other issues that are involved in, you know, this whole debate. In, you know, getting back to when I get people that are involved in the media business and you see the criticism at the, you know, we're talking about the national level of media in general. You know, basically on a lot of it's on trial now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that starting to reach the local level a little bit?
Oh, I think so.
When I'm talking about the fake news type of stuff, you hear that hashtag all the time. If somebody doesn't like what the story says, it's, you know, typical, you know, liberal hit piece or liberal media or fake news or whatever it is. Are you feeling that that's trickling down
to the local
level?
I'm seeing a little bit and hearing it a little bit in TV right now. It, some stuff that somebody will take. It's become that whole we want to be first on things and you'll get a story that you know is not right and they're gonna go with it, and then once that happens one time, people are gonna say yeah, well that story's not their stories are always wrong anyway. But you know sometimes you'd like, as I said, you work so hard to want to be first all the time instead of being best. And there's been times, especially in the last few years, where I've kind of said, you know, the Times beats me on a story, I'll do it better a day later. And I'm sure that they feel the same way. And I think that's the way you have to do it. You just, you know, just going out and doing something real quick that might not be right just isn't going to work.
Well, and I think, too, now, and I think you guys do a great job of it, is the feature pieces are where it's at. You know,
oh, exactly.
The pace setters, those things, because the scores, to me, don't mean as much as they used to, because people can get it instantly one way or the other from some source. It doesn't have to be
right.
From social media.
I mean, the score's on Twitter. Yeah. The score's on the news that night.
It's those type of pieces where the true pros in the business shine, where you can only get it at the traditional media sources. And it's just like for me, on the news side, to me, covering those accidents aren't as big as they once were, because everybody has it on social media.
Uh-huh.
And they don't even have to follow the rules, because they can, like, yeah,
you can go on Facebook and see the dang crash right in front of you.
They can release the identity.
Yeah.
And you can't in a traditional media
source, right,
because they haven't done it. But on the media, they already, on Facebook or social or Twitter or whatever, if it's somebody that knows that person, they just release it.
Yes.
Without any repercussions. Now, in this profession, I can't do that. So that means, I mean, they're ahead of the game in Twitter and Facebook. So I'm not as concerned about those, covering those accidents as much anymore, because they're already on social media. But I like to do other feature pieces or things like that that they can't find on social media that I'm doing. That has my handprints on them. And I think that's the way the local newspaper shines, too, in terms of do the feature pieces. You other people can have the scores or whatever. You got to come to my place and
right,
the whole kit and caboodle with the feature pieces, the picture, the image, that type of stuff. You know what
right,
I mean?
Because,
I mean, do you feel that it's should be trending more that way than now?
I think so, very much, especially because newspapers are now all published, or the paper itself is done from large companies. You know, like ours is done in they make the paper in Munster, Indiana. They send it to Cedar Rapids, who prints it, and Cedar Rapids drives it here to the Quad Cities.
No kidding.
So
wait a minute. Say that again.
We write the stories, read them, send them to Munster, Indiana. They put it on the pages. They send the pages to Cedar Rapids, who has the company, a printing company. They send them over to us, back over to us, and we deliver them. So what happens?
To Cedar Rapids, back to the.
So what happens is now the deadline is almost 2 hours earlier than it was before. So in order to get out of a game story what you want, you really can't get it. You got to go ask two or three questions of this coach, ask two or three questions of this coach, ask a couple questions of the player. So you're really not getting a whole lot out of that. You're just saying, let's get this thing over with and get a story written. I mean, I wrote a story the other night, and I said, I don't even know what I wrote. And I wrote 20 inches on it, but I didn't know what I wrote. But then I came back, and I said, okay, I want to go talk to this girl about this, because I can see what she's doing. You know, and, you know, a girl that doesn't score many points, but she's the leader on the team. I want to talk to her. So I write a feature about her. And that's the stuff I like doing. I mean, I want to be able to get to sit down and talk to somebody and get a good interview and give them something that other people don't know. Is why is she always going over and talking to every player every time out? Well, because she's the leader. She's the one who tells them what to do and what they're doing wrong.
So when you just explained everything that goes into that, what type of high blood pressure medication do you take then?
it's tough. I like last night's Rock Island UT game. It was sophomore game hijinks where there was 50 fouls called.
Oh my god!
So the sophomore
there should be a rule in JV in sophomore basketball that once there's 40 fouls you can't call anymore.
Exactly. and so you look up and it's 7:28 and
game hasn't tipped off.
The sophomore game has barely ended. It's senior night. Rock Island's got 9 senior players and about 9 senior cheerleaders. We got to talk about, you know, what they've done, what their favorite thing is they've ever done in life. And so it's 8 o'clock to start, and I need to be with my story back at 10 o'clock. And of course, you got one coach that's mad about the game, so he takes a little time to come out.
Yeah,
the other coach wants to talk about hurrah, we tied for the big six, and he comes out a little bit later, and I'm like, I got like 20 minutes to write this story.
And I got
wrestling people that want to set up the gym for a kids tournament the next day, and they want me out of there.
All right. Well, sir, our time is quickly past us, and I appreciate you coming in. And I always tell people, you know, we're in this together in the media, so I don't have this weird, like, over the years there's been this weird, like, sometimes competitive issues between newspaper, TV, radio. Man, I don't care, because I want the media. I want media newsrooms growing, not shrinking. So I appreciate these guys, and I always tell people, buy a paper when I'm there, or buy a subscription online for QCOnline.com, so we see more coverage and we see, you know, a staple of media in the Quad Cities. So keep up the good work, and all you guys up there, and thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want to tell you one more thing that this morning I woke up and looked at my phone, and on Facebook I had one of those little notifications that you have. And all I saw is, you have James Taylor. And I thought, wow, this guy's putting it on Facebook that I'm going to be on radio. Well, then I looked and saw that it's James Taylor's concerts tonight at the.
Yeah, it's big deal. Big deal. Thanks for coming in, sir.
I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Safe travels up to Chicago today. Jeff Wendland does a great job at the Argus Dispatch. Appreciate our conversation with him. You're listening to the WMJ Sports.